So, if they cannot accept reality, at least, you know, these scandals happening, Assisi and all these things, at least, you know, they're very sensitive to the ideas of communism. They know that. They're fighting, personally, communism. And so Fatima has a very a clear Eucharistic aspect from the angel asking reparation to today, the profanation of the altar and the Capellina on the feast of St. Pius V. And when we see these Eucharistic profanations, what should we do? I think we should think of the Last Supper, when just before instituting the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord said this painful word, "One of you will betray me." They all got up. "Is it I, Lord? Is it I?" Peter is asking, you know, "Is it I?" Everybody got up except one. John. John, they were all leaning on their left elbow and eating with their right hand on these reclining seats. John was just in front of our Lord. We know that from the details of the Gospel. And when John heard our Lord complaining, and there must have been a sadness in that voice. And St. John thinking, "There's a traitor here." St. John just rolled on himself and he ended up leaning on the Sacred Heart. And St. John must have been thinking, "How hurt, my dear Lord, how hurt you must be. Is it possible one of us? Well, if you say so, there will be one. Poor Jesus. How hurt. After everything you did for us, after all these years of teaching, all the miracles we have done, everything we have done, there's one of us will betray you. We were the chosen one. We were your intimate friends. And there's a traitor." It's much worse than the Pharisees and then even the lepers who don't even say thank you. It's one of his own who turns his heel against him. Well, that's what the angel says to us. Through here at Fatima. "Console your God, horribly outraged in this sacrament." Fatima has a Eucharistic message. And us, all of us who are convinced, I hope you are all convinced about the necessity of hanging on to the traditional Mass, let us hang on to the traditional Mass in a spirit of reparation as well. And whenever we hear this profanation, whatever type of profanation that takes place, especially around the Mass, around the sacred liturgy, let us do like St. John, kneel down and take your crucifix and kiss the Sacred Heart. I say, "My Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If a priest does this, or a bishop does this, or the Pope does this, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And we have to repair, let us console him. These are what I call the indirect offenses against the Immaculate Heart. By offending our Lord, there's repercussion in the Immaculate Heart, because we're offending her Son. And she knows what this has cost him. Now let us look at the direct offenses against the Immaculate Heart. Those which our Lord has even specified here in this message of Fatima. One of our priests, Father Labouche, who was the superior of Portugal for a few years, has just written this little booklet, "The Immaculate Heart of Mary Outraged." I will read you just a few samples of these profanations which have taken place, which, as Bishop Felet said this morning, certainly call the wrath of God to awaken in a frightening way. If Jesus stood up to defend the honor of his Father and of the Holy Ghost, he's going to stand up one day to defend the honor of his mother. "Don't you dare touch my mother." His mother is the most precious creature that he has made. Yes, St. Thomas himself says, it's one of the three things God could not have done better than he has done. These three things are the Incarnation, the glory of heaven, for the saints and his Blessed Mother. God could not have made a creature more perfect than Our Lady. And so when we touch Our Lady, it does not go unnoticed up there. I will show you an example how Our Lady's honor is being touched. But first of all, why five first Saturdays? Sister Lucia asked our Lord explicitly that question. Why five? Because before 1917, of course, there was a devotion of the 9 first Fridays, and there was a devotion of the 15 first Saturdays. The Dominicans still have this devotion. 15, many religious congregations also. Well, our Lord answered, because there are 5 types of offenses and blasphemies uttered against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Blasphemies against the Immaculate Conception. Blasphemies against her virginity. Blasphemies against the Divine Motherhood by refusing to acknowledge her as Mother of Men. Blasphemies of all those seeking publicly to put in the heart of children indifference or contempt or even hatred against the Immaculate Mother. And offenses of those who outrage her directly in her holy images and statues. All the blasphemies. So let's look at just in detail. You have, first of all the blasphemies publicly spread by all the Protestant sects all over the world against Our Lady, against her virginity. Oh, Jesus had many brothers and sisters. Our Lady had many children. It's a blasphemy against the virginity. It's a dogma of our faith. It's revealed in Scripture that Our Lady was virgin. Father Labouche says that he saw here in Portugal. He says he was witness a few years ago by these members of this sect called the Universal Kingdom of God, of leaflets which they were distributing, asking people to break statues of Fatima here in Portugal, promising them the blessings of God. Well, it is true that Martin Luther, in one of his sermons in 1523, said, quote, "I would like to get rid completely of the worship of Mary because of the abuse which is being made of it." So, well, the disciples of Luther are doing the same thing today. In Brazil, one of the greatest Catholic nations in the world, a Protestant pastor on TV, one of the national TV stations, gave a kick to the statue of Our Lady of Aparecida, the patroness of Brazil. Imagine if in Ireland they would kick Our Lady of Knock on TV, treating her of horrible doll. God sees these things. And there are sins crying vengeance to heaven. And the insults against our Blessed Mother are certainly among them. You may have heard, I think it was in December last year, in Argentina, of this, again, a sacrilegious, blasphemous exhibition against Our Lady. The theme was Our Lady having conceived by the Holy Ghost. Our priests and faithful in Cordoba, in Argentina, reacted by organizing a procession to the cathedral. But they went to see the parish priest of the cathedral, I think in Cordoba, where it was taking place. "Father, do something about it. Our Lady is being insulted." The parish priest says, "I'm not concerned about it. I have nothing to do with this thing." This, I would say, would hurt more than the actual blasphemies themselves, because we know they're done by the enemies of God. But for a priest to do nothing, you know, when he sees his mother being profanated, being insulted, just stay there, okay, well, it doesn't matter. So what? If their earthly mother was being abused publicly in front of them, they would just jump up. But they have lost that devotion to Our Lady. It's one of the tragedies of modern clergy. Here we have, Father just highlights what happened last year, and the building, I pass on to this, okay. Here, in Fatima, on the front page of the magazine of the Shrine of Fatima, October 28, 2003, called Notizias de Fatima, headlines, A Sanctuary to Many Creeds. That's what they're building now. Or another magazine, October 2001, the magazine of the Blue Army, Fatima, that's the headlines, A Call to the Unity of Christians, Muslims, and Jews. So Fatima, according to them, well, in fact, what is happening is Jesus and Barabbas on the balcony. We're back to that. We're living the passion all over again. Choose. Fine, let's unite both. Then Father gives a whole list of blasphemies, and he explains why in all the attacks against the mediation of Our Lady, Our Lady Mediatrix of Graces. And they've said it explicitly. The Vatican has said it explicitly. In the name of ecumenism, we cannot define this truth. Maybe it is theologically defendable, but because of Vatican II, because of the direction Vatican II has given, now it is not opportune to define this truth. And there was a group of theologians called the Groupe des Dombes. It's a place in France. 39 theologians. Out of 39, the studies took place between 1990 and 1996. 20 Protestant, 19 Catholics. And these 29 have published a study on Our Lady and ecumenism. And unfortunately, the Vatican is following the conclusions of this study, which is full of these ecumenical errors, if not heresies, where they say, and even Pope John Paul II has followed up with this study, that Our Lady of the Foot of the Cross was not meriting for us in any other way than any one of us Christians. So, notice the subtlety here. You have opposite errors, where they say that they bring down Our Lady. Our Lady is just like one of us. So which means, we could say, well, she's not the Immaculate Conception. Or on the other side, you can say, we are all Immaculate Conception. Just like Martin Luther is saying about the priest. A priest is just an ordinary man. And then he turns around and says, well, everybody is priest. Well, they're insulting Our Lady by denying everything. Even her motherhood, her divine motherhood. In France, there's a shrine in France called Our Lady of Laos. L-A-U-S. Laos. It's an apparition approved by the church in 1668. Protestant asked this lady, Benoît de Rancurel, to whom Our Lady was appearing, can we be saved in Protestantism? So they asked the seer, can we be saved? And the seer replied, well, I leave that up to God. Our Lady came back later on and says, listen, here's what she said. My daughter, because you had too much human respect and you have fear to say the truth, you will not see me for a while, for 1 month. Out of human respect. She was afraid to hurt them. Another apparition in France, Our Lady of de Lozier, 1649. Our Lady appeared to a Calvinist who did not want to bother too much about her. And Our Lady threatened him, saying, listen, your end is coming. You're going to die soon. And unless you change, unless you convert, you're going to be one of the hottest charcoal in hell. But if you convert, I will protect you before God. At the end, he did convert. You know, he got scared. In Japan, they have changed the Hail Mary in Japan. Recently, about a few years ago. And in the Japanese Hail Mary, it's no longer, blessed art thou among women. They remove the word among women. Just blessed art thou. Our Lady is no longer unique. She's no longer the one woman who will crush the devil's head. She's just a woman. That's a blasphemy against her. Father mentions that he has heard, he told me today again, he heard from a reliable source, there's a secret society operating for many years, of which the members commit themselves to insult Our Lady, give money, toys, sweets to children, to recite litanies of blasphemies against Our Lady. There's a counter miraculous medal which has been made. O Mary conceived with sin. The devil knows who he's fighting. Of course, you have all the movies that's done against Our Lady. So, these are the direct offenses. Our Lady is hurt, obviously. Why is she hurt? I'll say it's the other way around. She's hurt because all these insults against her virginity, her Immaculate Conception, her motherhood, her mediation, whatever, not so much, I would say, because it's her, but because these are gifts of God. She has received these gifts. She did not take them herself. These are gifts of God. And it's her duty to be faithful. Like Archbishop Lefebvre said, this Mass is not mine. The traditional faith, I did not make it. I have received it. I have to defend it. And Our Lady is hurt because by insulting her and her privileges, we are insulting Almighty God who put her there. That's why we must make reparation. And so to finish, let us just conclude with the fourth part. How can we make this reparation? What is the best way to pull the thorns out of her Immaculate Heart? Well, you don't have to think very hard because she herself has told us. It's the whole devotion of the first Saturdays. Very simple. Cannot be more simple. It's spelled out. You know, you just have to tick. I've done it. I've done it. I've done it. And that's the way she wants to be consoled. And you will see. You will understand. I'll explain it. The wisdom behind these first Saturdays. It was December 10, 1925. In 1917, she said, I will come back to ask for the communion of reparation of the first Saturdays. She came back 8 years later, 1925, with the child Jesus. The child Jesus said, first, have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, surrounded with thorns, which ungrateful men, see, always the ingratitude, ungrateful man pierce at every moment, without there being anyone to make an act of reparation to remove them. Then Our Lady said, see, my daughter, my heart, surrounded with thorns, which ungrateful men pierced at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitudes. You, at least, try to console me and say that all those who, for 5 months, on the first Saturday, and notice the order, number one, we'll go to confession. Number two, we'll receive Holy Communion. Three, we'll recite the Rosary. Four, we'll keep me company for 15 minutes, meditating on the 15 mysteries of the Rosary. Five, in a spirit of reparation. To these people, I promise to assist them at the hour of their death with all the graces necessary for the salvation of their soul. This is the great promise of the first Saturdays. And that is part of Message of Fatima. Don't forget, it's not just the consecration of Russia which must be done by the Pope. The consecration of Russia and the promotion of the first Saturdays devotion. So let's look at these 5 points and then we will stop. First of all, confession. Our Lady wants us to go to confession. Our Lord had been doing miracles for about a year. He had cured everybody. So many people. In all these villages, Capernaum especially, in all the places where he was traveling. Gradually then his fame spread and people came with their bodily physical diseases. He had exorcised people. But there was still something more Jesus wanted to do. And if you see the graduation in the gospel, the way it develops, you see our Lord, the delicacy, the gentleness of God's grace. Soon after the man who was lowered from the ceiling, remember the man who was sick with the palsy, the big crowd, and they opened the tiles and they lowered the man, and Jesus said, "Okay, I forgive you your sins." It was the first time Jesus said that. And the Jews were scandalized. And our Lord read their thoughts. Why are you thinking this in your heart? So, everything our Lord was doing, was saying, was being spread around by people. Our Lord's fame was growing. And you know what people were saying, like in the news, like, you know, we're talking about events. Our Lord was the talk of the day. And people were saying, after this, you know, He can read in people's hearts. And He can forgive sins. That's how our Lord gently let that word out. And finally, it started to germinate. One time, whether he was in Magdala or along the lake of Gennesaret, this woman who had a lot on her soul, she had heard about this prophet and she did not feel at peace with herself. And she wanted to find peace. And she heard, probably in the course of a discussion, maybe in a bar or whatever, middle of between two dances or whatever, this prophet, you know, he reads heart and he forgives sin, and that stuck in. He forgives sins. No prophet in the Old Testament has ever done that. This man does it. He reads heart. I won't have to say anything. He will read my heart. He knows. And so she managed to find out where he was. She found him in the middle of a banquet. She walked in, fell at his feet. Everybody just stopped seeing this, you know, street woman there. And she started pouring her tears, washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. And everybody watched. But think of the joy of our Lord. It's the first time, St. Mary Magdalene, it's the first time somebody reads the heart of our Lord. The Good Shepherd, "I have come for that." Physical cures, okay, but it's very shallow. He wants to cure souls. It is the sick that needs a doctor, not those who are in health, spiritually speaking. And the joy of our Lord who has founded this lost sheep, that's the purpose of the Incarnation. Why He died on the cross? To wash away our sins. Not to cure our diseases. It's the sin. It's the battle between sin and grace. Our Lady knows that. Our Lady has only one desire, because she has in her Immaculate Heart all the graces. It's St. Jerome who says that. All the graces which are in our Lord are also in Our Lady. And St. Pius X, his encyclical Ad Deam Illud, said these words, which are being denied today in the Vatican document. Pius X says very clearly, everything, there's no exception, everything our Lord has merited in justice. In Latin they say de condigno, in justice, strict justice. Our Lady has also merited out of charity, de congruo. And St. Pius X does not make, well, accept this and accept this. No. Everything our Lord has merited in justice, Our Lady has a share out of charity. And so Our Lady has one desire, is to see grace in our hearts by going to confession. The grace of confession. That's why it's the first condition of the first Saturdays. Make your peace with God. And Our Lady has this grace in her heart, the grace of, you know, we've all been to confession, and many of you, I'm sure, have been on retreats, make this general confession just to let it out. Let it out. Just find peace. Like St. Augustine falling there in the garden in Milan under that tree and say, my God, now, why can it not be just now? I want this peace. I want this peace. St. Augustine, who was struggling like we are, St. Augustine, who said at that moment, "My God, I want to be pure, but not right now." You know, St. Augustine was struggling, and finally he says, "Why not now?" And Our Lady gave him that grace, and boom, St. Augustine became St. Augustine. He got that grace of, just like St. Mary Magdalene at the feet of our Lord. It's the greatest joy we can give Our Lady, to get the thorns out of our own heart, the thorns of sin. That she can pour the oil and the wine like the Good Samaritan. That's what she wants to do. Confession. We're causing joy to Our Lady because we know, she knows, when we do that, it's the greatest joy we can give Our Lord. And Our Lady rejoices when she sees Jesus rejoicing. Number two, once we have been to confession, once we have our soul at peace, we can receive Holy Communion. And that's what she wants. She wants the union. Just like Our Lord said to the Father, just at the Last Supper, that they may be one, that I be in them, and they in me, and you, Father, in them, and I in them, and so on. Our Lord has this desire to come in us. Holy Communion is not for the tabernacle. The real tabernacle is human heart. Tabernacle is only the lobby, the waiting lounge. Our Lord is there for us. Give us this day our daily bread. And I hope, my dear brethren, that after this pilgrimage, one of the resolution of this pilgrimage, all of us, should be more frequent confession and more frequent communion. That is the first thing Our Lady is asking, in order to pull the thorns out of the heart. Very important. Very important. Then Our Lady, thirdly, asks for vocal prayer, the rosary, and mental prayer, meditation. Our Lady is a very good retreat mistress. She wants us to receive the sacraments. We're not good Catholics unless we receive the sacraments frequently. Let us not deceive ourselves. Even if you say the rosary occasionally, that's not enough. Confession and communion. So Our Lady wants, here at Fatima. And then the rosary. Why the rosary? Because by saying the rosary, we're reviewing her life story and the life story of our Lord. And it's not just mysteries of the past, but like Dom Marmion says, these mysteries are alive when we meditate them. There's a special grace every day in the liturgy when we celebrate the mysteries. And mental prayer, it has to sink in. We know the story of Bethlehem, the story of the crucifixion. But what does it mean for you? Do you realize how much we have cost our Lord? Or how infinitely lovable He is? Do we realize that? You need to meditate. Think about it. Think with love. The heart to heart with love. And finally, all these conditions, confession, communion, the rosary, meditation, all four with the intention to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart. That is what Our Lady has asked. And the best thing we can do to console her is to do it. If you have done it once, do it again. Do it again for someone else. Do it for all the members of your family. Do it for your friends. For people at work. Do it for anybody, your neighbors. Be apostolic in your prayers. Keep doing it all the time for those who don't do it. And to console Our Lady. Don't just do it one time to say, well, I'm okay now. Okay, I got my insurance policy. I'm fine. Don't forget, it is to console Our Lady. So keep doing it in order to keep consoling her. That's the important thing of Fatima. And finally, just the last two words. Beside these things, Our Lady is asking for sacrifices, little sacrifices. I know you're making one now because you're tired and it's long and it's late. But Our Lady has asked for these sacrifices and the consecration to herself. She asked for the consecration of Russia, like the bishops did today, beautiful ceremony. As much as it is in our power, we consecrate Russia, but let us consecrate each one of us individually to her Immaculate Heart. As St. Alphonsus says, God wills it, Our Lady deserves it, and we need it. Thank you very much. Let's kneel down. Let's say the Angelus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God. God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God.
May we be made worthy of the promises of Christ.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the soul of the faithful depart into the mercy of God, rest in peace.
I give you my blessing. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, Deus nostri per vos et maniat semper.
Amen.